And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to our kickoff for 2019. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. And today on the show, Wig in the Box.
We talked to Claire about how drag is having a bit of a resurgence.
And our highlights of 2018.
Yes, we'll be playing a few of our favourite bits from last year.
All that and more
today on Shout Out.
Back.
Hello. Well, do you remember towards the end of last year we were talking about the fact that it used to be our kind of like backing jingle?
When we first started Shout Out a long time ago.
Is it going to be our backing track now for 19?
Well, it can if you like. Do you like it that much?
I think it's a great track.
I do too.
Yes.
It had some of the best music in it, Queer as Folk.
Yes.
It did fantastic mixes.
This year will mark the 20th anniversary of the transmission of the first British Queer as Folk.
Oh, yeah.
On February 1999.
The British one. There was no other one.
Of course. The real version.
The real version, that's right, yes. It was rather pale and insignificant, the American one.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly less racy, I think.
Although you say that, he's off to make another one, isn't he? Like, they're making a new Queer as Folk in America.
I did read that somewhere, yeah. With
really?
Russell T Davis.
Yeah, Russell T Davis is writing it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's quite funny because I remember, I mean, I was, 19, I think, when Queer as Folk came out, somewhere around there.
I was 261.
And it was like, oh my God, this is exactly what gay life's like. Yeah, I love going out clubbing and it's great and blah, blah, blah. And you watch it now, I'm like, oh my God, I used to be like that.
What, tart?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, of course, some people say
thanks,
that
Steph. Happy New Year. Let's start as we mean to go on.
Where you're wearing your colours, red. Look at mine, white, virginal.
Oh, well, you've always been a liar, we know that.
Oh, ouch.
Some people said that that Queer as Folk television sort of killed off Manchester's gay scene. It sort of made it a victim of its own success, you see, in a way. That's been said, anyway.
Having been there before and after, when it was at the height of the Queer as Folk kind of like buzz, if you like.
A lot of tourists.
It was more straight than it was gay. And of course, back in those days, the gay scene really was quite a protected kind of space.
Quite so important,
straight people just did not go out on the gay scene. Certainly here in Bristol they didn't, because it was one of the things that I loved was, because it wasn't so okay to be gay and out, it was a safe space and you felt safe when you were there. So going to Manchester after Queer as Folk, you actually were quite on edge because it wasn't that protected space. It had been invaded because of the TV.
It was kind of nice
because it brought a lot of people, it made a lot of people want to come out and experience the gay scene that were straight. I think one of the biggest things that it did, though, was bring all the hen-dos with them.
Yes.
They did get quite overrun with
hen-dos.
That's
very true. Yeah, they do get packed with hen-dos now. Some really sad news, though, to move on. Yeah. It was reported today that Julia Grant, who was very famous, she made 6 documentaries?
This was back in the 70s,
the
wasn't it?
Yes.
The first one, 1979.
Yeah, she'd done a lot for the trans movement by actually just coming out and being out there and putting herself on television.
And she just passed away, hasn't she?
But 64, yeah, such 64. A young age.
Yeah,
but she did have bowel cancer, and last year she was quite ill again. So that's such a young age to go.
Yeah. So and sad to lose someone who, you know, because in the 70s you just didn't talk about things.
Well,
like
she
that.
Put trans on the map.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
She did a lot for the trans community.
Yeah. I read the article, one of the people who knew her well described her as Marmite. You either loved her or hated her, but.
Yeah.
But overall, they all said that she probably did more good for the community.
I think she did
bad.
A lot of good.
Yeah. Very important activist, yeah.
Anyway, I'm saving the best till last today, by the way, just so you know. With the exception of
me,
of course. I don't mean it like that. No, I mean with our clips.
With our clips.
With our clips.
Oh, can I just mention that Glastonbury FM are moving their slot. They're going to be Friday at 6 p.m.
Right.
Today at 9.
Right.
So saying today is a bit spurious because I mean Thursday.
Is that starting from now?
That's starting from the new year. So
from this week.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Really?
Hello?
Really? I must have missed all that. Oh, of course, I was working.
You would not. You were having a party here in the studio. I'm not silly.
We were working hard, I'll have you know. It was very enjoyable.
Though. I bet you were dancing around all over.
I was. Back at myself. I was. Spent 5 hours behind hot, steamy mics.
Who's hot, steamy mic?
Well, it was a hot, steamy night, yes.
Hot, steamy mic.
We had, apple pies in it.
You so just ruined that joke.
I know. I'm sad.
I got it, Terry. Don't worry.
So. We did have apple pie. And we had water. Sausage rolls. And I had Diet Cola as well. So yes. Really splashing out.
Yeah, really splashing out.
I went home and had a bottle of wine.
I went home to bed.
Anyway, we'll be talking to Claire in a bit about the resurgence of drag that is.
I'm sure some
listeners will remember. We have spoken to her before. So we've got
the old market assembly. She got an absolutely fantastic event organised.
Yeah, so we'll be catching up about that. I've got some very fun stuff for Steph coming up later on. Make you laugh a bit, but first, it was certainly one of my favourite interviews we did. And ironically, it wasn't us that did it because it was during the World AIDS Day special when Brigstow took over.
They did Polly and Allard.
Yeah. Now, do you remember we had a gentleman very kindly came and joined the show, a guy called Andy,
Very brave gentleman.
Who was diagnosed with HIV 30 years ago when it was kind of, you know, just about discovered. So have a listen to this.
So when we were kind of putting the show together, we thought that like hearing a personal story would really be the, I don't know, like the heart and soul of it, right? That's what we want to hear. So I've known Andy. Hi, Andy.
Hi there.
For about 5 years since I started working at Brigstow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And he's agreed to come on and speak about his experience living with HIV.
I certainly have. Yeah.
Nearly 30 years.
Wow.
No, thank you.
Not a problem.
Fine, just no biggie.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just my life, whatever. Could you tell us when you were diagnosed and how that was?
It was March the 6th, 1989. And it's a day I'll never forget. Yeah. I literally walked into the clinic in Cardiff. I knew the answer was going to be positive anyway, for various reasons. Walked into the doctor's office. He turned around and said, well, I'm terribly sorry, but it's come back as positive. And I sort of just felt as if I was in a void all of a sudden.
Mm.
And then he passed a form across to me at the S1500, which was like a shortcut for benefits, which basically gave me 3 months to live. And it was a case of, will I make my 26th birthday?
Mm.
30 years later, you can see that I did.
You're here.
I am.
Yeah. Because it was a much different time then.
It was an absolute nightmare. Yeah. There was nothing. There was no organisations to offer any support. There were no experts. The only experts were ourselves, and we had to look out for ourselves. I can remember at the time the doctor turned around and asked me, have you got any questions? To which my reply was, do you have any answers? And he said, well, no. And that summed it up.
Yeah. So there wasn't anything?
Absolutely nothing at all.
Not even drugs?
There was AZT, which was basically
an unlicensed... cancer drug, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an unlicensed chemotherapy drug that they sort of dug up and thought, right, okay, let's see if it can do something for HIV. Which in the labs in rats and mice, it did a great job. But unfortunately in people, they gave it at such a high dose that if you didn't die of AIDS, you died of AZT poisoning.
Gosh.
Which in certain cases was an awful lot worse. It was a horrific, horrific drug.
Mm.
And I just saw so many people literally just dropping like flies.
So what was it, do you think? Because you are still here and kicking. And you
very
know,
much so.
What do you think, because between sort of, what, 1989 was it? And then meds came in, like antiretroviral, the highly effective treatment that you're on now,
mm-hmm.
came in, what, 96?
Yes, that's
so
right.
That's a long time, isn't it? What do you think got you through it?
Definitely my attitude. I always sort of thought that I got this little tiny virus inside of me and I'm a darn sight bigger than it, and I'm damned if it's going to take over. There was lots of sort of crazy sort of things that were going around at the time that would sort of boost our immune system. One of them was very high doses of vitamin C. So myself and a couple of friends decided to nip off the boots, and we got these little capsules of Halib Orange vitamin C, and we'd take sort of about 10 of them a day. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, looked like Oompa Loompas. the colouring literally leached into your skin. But so we looked quite healthy, but whether or not it did any good, I have no idea at all. I think it was definitely my attitude towards it that got me through it.
And as well as it being, because we've spoken before a lot about your story, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
As well as it being quite a bleak time, you talk of some quite good times running through like the late 80s and early 90s.
Absolutely. You had two options. You either got on with it or you died. Yeah. And I remember the day I was diagnosed, I walked into the pub and there was three people sort of came rushing over to me. They knew I'd gone for the results of my test. And that weekend, that was on a Monday, on that weekend we decided to go away for a weekend, go on the Friday, come back on the Sunday. We went to Brighton and came back on the Thursday and had an absolute whale of a time. And that's how it continued for a couple of years. And okay, you get down, you get low, but you just had to carry on. You couldn't give in to it.
There you go. That was Andy talking to Polly, who you'll hear towards the end of the month. So a big thank you to them for that. So we must get Andy on the show, actually, mustn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I found that quite moving.
Yeah, very moving.
Although
I did think the Oompa-Loompa bit was quite funny.
yeah. Well, you need that sort of thing. Yeah. You need humour to break up something so serious.
Yeah.
And he did that well. Mm. Like you said, Paula's going to be joining Shout Out team. And so she's going to be presenting. And her first presenting duties will be the last show. There's 5 shout outs this month.
Ooh, well.
Yes.
Is it really? We've got 5 weeks this month.
5 shout-outs, yeah, which is slightly screwing up the podcast because everyone has a first Thursday, a second Thursday.
And we got 5. Oh, well, we'll have a Steph week. It's 5, so.
Really?
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout-Out. We're back in a minute when we'll be talking to Claire.
Shout-Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Fireball! I don't think that needs an intro. Fireball.
Difficult lyrics.
That's by Pitbull. That's featuring John Ryan. So, do you like that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I didn't much go for the rapping bit.
No, I was going to say, you don't like Pitbull particularly, do you?
No, he's all right, but I don't like rapping full stop.
Yeah. But I just think that's kind of like a fun tempo kind of tune, which, you know, when it's freezing cold outside, it's quite nice to be there dancing.
It is, but you've got those stoppy bits, haven't you, where everyone just stands there and like,
oh my god, it's finished. Oh no, it hasn't. That's okay.
A false ending. Yes. Several false endings.
Yes, it's behind you.
So now, talking of behind you and false endings, we're talking about drag acts now,
hey,
aren't we? So welcome back, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think, when was it? Wasn't that long ago, was it?
I can't remember. It was
years.
No, I think it might have been, I'm trying to remember, March maybe? Yeah. Last March, I think. I can't remember which category it was, but
so, things have moved on though. You've got your own production company. I love the name.
So
tell us the name.
The name's Wig in a Box Promotions. Yes. It's
so cool.
Taken from Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is one of my favourite films. I actually have tattoos of Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Do
it's
you?
That much. It's that much of an obsession. So yeah, it was kind of, that was why I chose the name. And obviously I'm doing queer events and drag. It kind of works quite well.
So it's going well.
It is going well, yeah. We've got quite a few events coming up.
I was going to say, you'd have thought like party season's just finished because we've had Christmas and New Year, but you're kicking off straight into this year, aren't you?
Well, it happened that the anniversary of David Bowie's death was coming up, and I thought a really good way to celebrate his life would be a drag extravaganza.
Amazing.
So next Saturday the 12th we'll have Rebel, which is gonna see 9 performers giving their take on David Bowie. So
how well is that gonna go in the dressing room?
Well, actually, do you know what, I've got good experiences contrary to a lot of other stories of drag dressing rooms, but I think that's because I keep them plied with alcohol and feed them.
Is this before or after they go on stage?
Both.
So yeah, that is quite daring though, to have 9 drag queens all in the room.
Well,
together.
It's drag queens and kings, so
cool, amazing.
Kings as well.
Yeah, I non-binary myself, so I always try and do everything across the board, include everyone. I think drag has there's a space for everyone in drag.
Yeah, so. Very true.
Absolutely. Very true. In fact, we had drag kings on the show, didn't we?
We did. Yes.
Was it the Brizzle Boys?
From London.
Oh,
yes.
A cutie pock.
Oh, nice.
We did, yes. And yeah. We actually, if you go back enough years, we had the drag kings of. They were up near Cheltenham, weren't they? I think they've disbanded now, unfortunately. But yeah, we were interviewing them years and years ago.
There's just not enough drag
kings. Not as many drag kings,
around.
Sadly.
It's growing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Do you think that there seemed to be a lull where you didn't get many shows that you were able to go to?
Yeah.
I remember Robin Williams coming out with the Birdcage.
Yeah.
But the UK didn't seem to have drag acts like you could see on that movie. Do you think there's now a sudden resurgence of drag across the country?
I think, obviously, with RuPaul's Drag Race, it's got much more popular. I think we're at a funny point right now because RuPaul's Drag Race is now on Netflix, and it means that drag is becoming more straight. So, as you were saying about the queer as folk getting the hen parties, that I've noticed even in the last year that's happening more and more. So. And not to exclude straight people, but I'm very, very passionate about keeping that queer identity within a drag night. I think it's such an important history to keep alive. And I think there's more and more drag nights out there, but there's bigger shows don't happen that often. And that's what I'm trying to do, is these big theatrical kind
of... It's quite huge, RuPaul's Drag Race, isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive now.
Especially in America as well.
It's huge. And it also means that the price of an act goes up. So it's coming to the UK.
Wow.
So we will see how many people you can book after RuPaul's Drag Race gets...
So anyway, going back to your thing that's coming up not this weekend, this is the weekend after.
Yeah.
Give us an idea of, if we've never been to something like it before, what can we expect?
So we're going to have Discharge, who I believe has been on here multiple times, will be hosting. And we will have a mixture of live singing and lip syncing and all sorts of wonderful, fabulousness. And we've got a wonderful queen from Manchester called Cheddar Gorgeous, who I've had at Category Is in the past, who is an absolutely beautiful, lovely person, but also does an amazing David Bowie. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. I think Cheddar Gorgeous is actually on the front of the Ozone Hotel book.
It is, yes.
Robert Kyle, the author, because we had Robert on the show. They're going to be there.
Oh, God, stop. She keeps telling me all of the people that are going to be there, and now I'm getting really scared.
You know Robert's husband is, right?
No.
Okay, he's the director of the Graham Norton Show.
Oh, God. Stop.
So, but I take it the whole thing is going to be themed around
Bowie.
Are they all singing Bowie?
So they're all doing their take on Bowie.
Right.
So we'll get all the favourites, but we'll also get some ones people probably won't expect from, you know, different phases of the Bowie career. And then afterwards, we'll have the punker DJs will be DJing Bowie and Bowie-inspired music. So we've got an after party as well. And I'm encouraging everyone to come dressed as their favourite Bowie.
So is it more kind of singing stroke lip syncing or anything doing? Because, I mean, drag often quite often includes comedy and stuff like that doesn't it?
So. I imagine it'll be... A lot of the kings will do lip syncing with comedy. That happens quite a lot, and it's always fantastic. So I know one person wants to use a projector, and I know. So who knows? We've also got a podium dancer who's wonderful.
So have you not seen all their acts yet?
I have not seen them all. I know what they're doing.
Right.
There's a Facebook conversation that now and again we'll get a flurry of messages of, oh my God, is anyone doing Dancing in the Street? I really want to do Dancing in the Street. And you'll be like, no, it's fine. That one's free. You can take it. But yeah, I haven't seen the acts. I know a couple.
So have they got a dress rehearsal is what I'm trying to say.
So most people have done their act before, so they'll know it kind of inside out. And we have like a line check beforehand, and we'll have a small rehearsal. But a lot of the time, those rehearsals happen within our dressing room, basically.
They're drinking all that alcohol.
A lot of them are very sensible. It's usually me that needs the alcohol, to be honest.
So now we all really need to say where this is taking place.
So it's going to take place at the Old Market Assembly, which is my second home, because I'm the events organiser there when I'm not doing my own promotions events. And it's going to start at 10 o'clock night, so it's late night cabaret, so it's going to be
fun.
Yes, it will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's on a Saturday night, though. I've got to get up for work the next morning.
Exactly.
Or you can stay there because there's amazing roasts there.
We
on
do
a
do a good roast on a Sunday. Yeah.
So now, what do we do about getting tickets and the like? Can I just come along? Or?
Tickets are available on Head First, and I'm not sure if there'll be any on the night. We've got about 50 left. So
if you're listening, get them quick.
Yeah, get them quick.
I have to admit, I've not heard of Head First. What's that?
Head First is a Bristol-based ticket company, ticket selling company, that works basically with artists in mind, so artists can sell their own tickets. It's a really good company. Harry owns it. It's fabulous. So, it's a website.
Oh, marvellous. That's one I haven't heard of. Yeah. Have you?
No, I haven't. No, but I will be going there because I'm going to buy a couple of tickets.
Yeah.
Are you going to sing Barry too?
I'm going to be interviewing the acts. I'm not going to be partaking.
Are you a Barry
fan? Are you sure? I might get you there.
Really? I don't think
if so. If I've got to go up.
I don't mind going up as long as I can get back down quickly.
Have a shout out, introduce it for you. See, just drag Steph up on the set. Then you aren't going to do it. You can stay in the dressing room and drink.
Exactly.
Which incarnation of Bowie do you think you'd be, Steph, if you were taking part?
I think when he started becoming non-binary, when he was like in his
androgynous
fluid.
Alien is my favourite Bowie.
Yeah, mind, yeah.
So you sort of Ziggy Stardust period. Yeah,
yeah.
The early stuff, when he had all his hit singles, in fact, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the major ones, Starman.
Yeah, Space Oddity, that was my favourite.
That's a great song. You're going to love a little bit of Cheddar then.
So very quickly, before we say goodbye to you though, what's planned after that?
Today I was trying to get together a Prince night in the same vein as this one. And I've got Category Is, which is my quarterly drag night, which the theme this time is Hollywood. That's coming up in March. So there's a few
Hollywood.
March and April.
Opens the door for a lot of things.
I know. Last time it was Divas and I definitely opened myself up. Hollywood is, I think, will be a piece of cake. We'll be fine.
I wonder if there'd be a Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, we can only hope.
Yeah. Knowing drag queens, it'll have a completely different name.
Yeah.
What's your favourite drag name so far?
I love Cheddar Gorgeous. That's what but then I'm Bristol born and bred. Cheddar Gorgeous makes me laugh every time.
You need to look on the front cover of the Ozone Hotel.
Yeah.
The makeup is spectacular.
Yeah.
Have a look at that picture. It's fantastic.
My favourite drag, it's actually a drag review group, actually, of three drag queens. They called themselves the Disappointer Sisters.
That's amazing.
I thought that was brilliant.
Oh my God.
That was in the 80s.
I want to call myself that with my friends.
That's brilliant.
I'm not sure if I can say mine on air.
I can't say my actual favourite because it's filmed.
So some of them are just unbroadcast. Yeah. And it's caused a little bit of an issue from time to time as well, because you interview people, you're like, what's your drag name? And like, I don't think I can say that.
A lot of the kings, I'm like, oh, that's a great name. Can't say it anywhere.
Can't print that on a poster and put it up on the front of the venue either.
So it defeats the object, doesn't it? The promotions.
So listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you again.
Thank you so much
do stay in touch and keep us up to date with what you're up to.
Oh, I will do.
Especially if you've got the Prince one, that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, come along.
Steph will be there next week with you too.
Yeah.
So when you see her staring at you at the audience, feel free to photograph glass or something.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be really nice.
So anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
Calvin Harris and Sam Smith and Promises. Sorry, we were just looking up what Calvin Harris looks like. He's a good looking chap.
He's very striking.
Good producer.
I have to admit, I love Sam Smith's voice.
It's good.
Very good sort of
gorgeous singer.
Yeah. That's quite haunting, that track, isn't it? With that chorus going on.
Mm. Yeah, but nice. I like it.
Doing well in the hit parade, I understand.
Oh, here we go.
Every week. Yes, I love it.
To our younger listeners, look it up on Wikipedia.
I'm sure everybody knows what the hit parade is.
You say that, and I was talking to a youngster a few weeks ago about it, and they thought it was the lineup that you do at the police station where you have to hold the numbers and they guess who you are.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's so sweet.
Which you can kind of see, can't you, when you think about it? So anyway, Terry.
Yes.
With a clear
throat,
would you mind giving us some news?
I'll be delighted. This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 3rd of January. There was much mirth and hilarity on the atheist web after a highly conservative Catholic priest identified the most dangerous and evil person in the world as Celine Dion. Ms. Dion, who is famous for her haunting theme from the 1997 movie Titanic, is a staple of easy listening and LGBT radio services. She might seem an unlikely candidate for evil incarnate, but apparently she is in league with Satan. The priest in question, who is apparently trained in exorcisms, has made the astonishing claim because Ms. Dion has launched her own range of gender-neutral clothing, which is proving very popular. He wrote that gender diversity was a lie, and that Satan is the Lord of Lies, and that therefore Ms. Dion was evil. It is not thought that his opinions have been endorsed by the Vatican, which is currently enjoying a period of relative liberalism under the current Pope, Pope Francis. And we should note that there are many Catholic lay groups that are working to change the attitude of the Church, including Dignity and Catholics for Free Choice. If you live in North Derbyshire or South Yorkshire and fancy having a stab at doing radio yourself, then the regional BBC service, Radio Sheffield, is looking for talent. The This Is Me initiative will see auditions held across the region, during which people will be encouraged to tell a story about themselves. The eventual winner will be given the chance to work with BBC Radio Sheffield across its transmission area. The station says that it is all part of its aim to be more responsive to the diverse needs of local communities. The station is available across that region on FM, medium wave, DAB and on Freeview. Now, the veteran gay magazine Boys used to refer to Madonna as our glorious leader in an homage to the superstar's huge and long-lasting support for the LGBTQ communities. Now, reports the Jewish Chronicle newspaper, Madonna may have an opening for you in her household if you are a kosher-trained chef. Madonna is not Jewish, but her interest in Kabbalah, which is a type of Jewish mysticism, is well known. Madonna has advertised for the chef to work across her households in the US, UK and Europe, and they are to prepare some dishes according to traditional Jewish law, which includes no shellfish and no pork. The salary for this interesting and prestigious role is reported to be a cool $110,000 per annum. Clearly I'm in the wrong job. Pride in London, which will take place again on July the 6th, 2019, has published its impact report, reflecting on the triumphs and failures of the event in the last Pride season. Of particular note, the organising committee have expressed their regret that a small group of radical lesbian feminists who dislike transgender people had been allowed to hijack the front of the march, trampling on the large rainbow flag which leads the procession and obscuring veteran LGBT workers representing the NHS. This action alienated many people and is said to have lost radical feminism a lot of support within the community. In 2019, security will be tightened and the Pride organisers say they hope they can balance the variety of views and groups within the LGBTQ communities in a peaceful fashion. Gay newswire Pink News reports that many regional Prides last summer also tightened security after the radical feminist threats. Others have noted that these voices are not the only ones at work in the community and point out that the majority of feminists are in favour of trans equality. And finally, it's goodbye to all that, as the microblogging site Tumblr is to remove all adult content. All human life in its glory and depravity is represented on millions of people's Tumblr accounts, and BBC Radio 1 reports that the directors of the company are concerned that illegal content of various types is there for the world to see. Excuse me. Their solution has been to declare that in 2019 all accounts containing adult material will be closed down. However, as Radio 1 reporters also noted, this may impact many minority groups substantially, as LGBT people, fetishists and heterosexuals with perfectly legal but unusual interests have found a corner of the internet they could call home in Tumblr. Well, for these news stories and more, you can always visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. And for Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Oh my God, does that mean that the film Titanic's the work of the devil too then?
Absolutely.
Is it by association that that
it
works?
It seems to be, doesn't it? It's a bit like the claims that gay people cause floods and fire. And
oh,
we've obviously got
yeah.
a lot of powers, you
yeah.
see.
It's dropping to -3 tonight because I declared it.
Absolutely, Andy. I didn't doubt it for a second. Andy.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a Faded, and that's by Dennis.h. I think there's a couple of songs actually mixed together, that one. You like that?
I do like that one. That's going to be in the H&H playlist.
Remember where you heard it first.
Yes.
So, well, I thought, seeing as it's a new year and we're presenting together, I purposely picked tracks I thought you might like. So.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
That's a bit scary as well. Why are you being nice to me?
I don't know. It must be because it's New Year.
I don't know. Oh. Well, this is going to carry on through the New Year. You're just scaring me now, Andrew.
It's not going to last because...
good.
Well, it sort of is going to last because you didn't really think wrong. This was just absolutely hilarious, this list. So, going back to our clip stuff that we were talking earlier, do you remember earlier in the year we spoke to Cameron from Prowler?
Yes.
We do.
And they
did.
Oh, I remember because yeah. they do kits.
Well, funny you should say that. Have a listen to this. Anyway, I'm going to say a very warm welcome to a certain, former barman who won a certain Shout Out Listeners Award a couple of years ago, who's apparently very good at twerking. Very warm welcome to Cameron. Hello, mate. How are you?
Evening. Thank you so much. I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm so pleased we asked you about twerking before we played that song.
So now I am store manager of Simply Pleasure and Prowler, Bristol.
Amazing. So. And I know that's right. It's like opposite the Bear Pit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind opposite of the Bear Pit on 30 Bond Street.
Yeah. And there's one in Soho.
There's one in Soho, Brighton, and now Barcelona as well.
Amazing.
Oh. And there's talks of a new one up in Leeds. So watch this space.
No, Barcelona would be the one I'd go to.
Barcelona's beautiful.
So nice and hot this time of year, Barcelona.
I was looking through the catalogue, and I found a gay starter kit. It only cost £27.
Gay starter kit.
Yeah, so if you're not
gay yet...
Are
you willing to get gay, are you?
No, I am. But no, it's a starter kit, obviously not gay male, but gay female.
Right.
So, no, this is a starter kit for guys.
Yeah.
Not gals, okay? It's only £27. That's a bargain. If you want to become gay, it's only going to cost you £27.
Did you remember that conversation?
Dear.
Yes,
did you notice the price there? How much was the kit?
I don't know, 20-odd quid, 20, was it?
27.
Was
you,
it?
You said it was.
That's expensive, isn't it, to become gay?
Well, I don't know. You,
or do you think it's a bargain?
What follows on has made a lot of people wonder whether it's something you've actually bought.
What, me?
Yeah, you.
No,
because
I didn't.
Do you remember a few months later...
Terry and I have decided we're going to go into business and do these starter kits.
Yeah.
We've actually been discussing what we're going to put in the starter kits, haven't we, Terry?
We have, yeah.
I don't know if I dare ask this. What would you put in a starter kit, then?
Well, there's going to be a magazine, which Terry was going to supply. What's it called, Terry?
I can't remember. Was it Euroboy or something from the 1990s?
Right.
And then you're going to get a copy of Like a Prayer by Madonna. And then you're going to get a pair of Dr. Martens. And purple ones if you're lesbian. You get a lesbian pair.
Yep.
And you get a gay male pair as well.
None of this is stereotyping at all, is it?
Yeah. You've got to be very careful.
Yeah.
But if you're straight now and you want to be gay, it's not going to cost you much money at all.
Well, that was £27.
£27.
A bargain to become gay.
Now, of course, a few months later, not that long ago actually, Terry's other half, Steve, came in.
He
who works for Nice and Naughty.
And, another sex shop.
It would appear that it stayed on your mind, didn't it? Yeah, yeah. The problem is, Steph, you're the theme, not,
oh, really?
Not them. Yeah, have a listen to this. So, now, I obviously know what Nice and Naughty is, but for the listeners that don't, do you want to explain what Nice and Naughty is?
Indeed. It's a licensed adult store. It's located about halfway up Colston Street.
Right.
Do you do starter kits?
Say again?
Starter kits.
Starter kits.
Yeah. The last time we had somebody in from a fashion house that was towards the sexual side, they had a starter kit. And it was predominantly gay, wasn't it? This story. It was for gay men.
Yes.
Yeah. It was for gay men.
Okay.
And they did a starter kit so you could become gay for just 13 quid.
I haven't got anything sort of precisely fitting that description. But I mean, yeah, you could certainly change your body shape and stuff like that without needing to spend a huge amount of money.
Oh, Steph.
Oh, Steph, that's funny.
I thought it was a bargain basement price to become gay.
£13 to become gay, yeah.
Oh dear. But yet there's a
if you wander into Nice and Naughty in Christmas and you see a starter kit, just remember you heard it here first. So for 2019 Christmas, Steph.
Well, there was a 50% sale on, so that's why the price had come down.
You do make me laugh.
So it was even cheaper to become gay if you got it in the sale.
So what are you putting in your gay starter kit?
The same. Well, no, me and Terry working together because he's got more experience than the gay guy side.
Oh, right. Okay.
You better believe it.
Oh, you do make me laugh. Anyway, I thought that would give you a bit of a giggle. I mean, no, it takes a lot to be able to make somebody who works in a sex shop stump for words. And you successfully did it very
twice.
Well, didn't you?
And we should say thanks to both Prowler and Nice and Naughty.
To Steve and to Cameron as well, for being such good sports. Anyway, stay with us. So you're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
So, what was the other one? You think you should have a congratulations, you're now gay card?
We've just decided
a certificate
that
is going to be in the box.
But who's going to sign the certificate?
Well, you will have to.
Me? Or we'll get someone like
Suri
and
McKellen. Are you the ultimate authority on being gay? Is that what you'd have to be?
I suppose, yeah, you'd have to be the ultimate gay, the sort of like gay Buddha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suri and McKellen would do.
Yeah, Suri and McKellen.
I'm Peter just Tatchell. Dreading the next time we interview someone from one of those shops. I bet you bring it up again.
They're not coming back on, are they?
Put off a line.
They're going to be asking, who's doing the internet? Please don't tell me it's Steph. Please tell me it's somebody else.
It was great fun. I think in those cases. It made very good radio.
So the problem is we do so many shows in a year. When you're trying to pick clips.
Absolutely.
There are so many you could pick. Yeah. So, we thought, you know, chatting to Andy, it's more Polly that was talking to Andy that we had at the top of the show was such a nice story. It was kind of akin to one. Do you remember we interviewed a guy a couple of years ago who very sadly had gone through electroshock therapy?
Gosh, I do remember that. Yes,
and that was a really sad tale. And again, it was really nice because it was the same kind of thing. You know, the guy is fine now and happy, you know, and
well, it's similar. With Justin Utley's story of growing up is quite a horror story, isn't it? From the Mormon church.
Yeah.
But he survived and he's got a lovely life now.
Married.
Yeah.
Married indeed, yes.
Yeah, his other half's nice.
Very
nice.
Good, very important to talk about these things and sort of raise them, and that's partly what we're here for, of course, isn't it?
So, absolutely. Well, as well as selling gay kits.
As well as selling gay kits. Maybe you can offer them through Shout Out. It could be like a branch.
I knew you were going to say
a branch that we could do. We'll have a little store at Pride.
Yeah. Coming to Pride this year. Terry and Steph's gay kits.
Yeah, we could have a store.
No, actually, to be honest, because
straight people here, you can become gay for just what was the bargain price? It was £27.
Well, it started off at £27. You dropped it to £13 over the course of a couple of months.
Just for Pride Day, it could be £1.30, couldn't it? For the day. A day pass.
Yeah.
A day pass to being gay. Yeah. And we could also take it into Broadmead, I think, which, for those listening on sort of further afield stations, is the main Bristol shopping centre.
I think you're now starting to overthink this.
I think we could have a little stall.
We could,
you know.
We could rent certain gay people out to give personal lessons.
That's absolutely illegal.
Which bit? What, renting
out? People out.
Is it?
Yeah, you can't rent people out.
Shout out, rent me out to H&H.
I'm not even getting involved in this conversation. So.
The mind boggles. If you've got any ideas about what we could put in our gay starter kits, then
yes,
please email tell us.
Now, would you like some very in advanced warning?
Right.
At the end of this year, the Shout Out Listeners Awards will return.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this is our last show.
Well, it might be. I don't know.
Just be pulled.
Studio manager's on the phone. Off comms in his ear, yes.
But yes, of course, next year is our 10th anniversary.
It is indeed.
Towards the end of this year, we will start the biggest ever Shout Out Listeners Awards we have ever done, which will be presented next year as part of our 10th birthday celebrations.
Absolutely fabulous.
So, and of course, this year we will have 10 stations that we are going out on that can all potentially be part of the catchment area for the awards.
Well,
so,
we might have more than 10 by
then.
Yeah,
you never know.
250.
Never know. And unless they don't like you. Unless they don't like your gay boxes. It's, you know.
Going to bring the money in, I tell you.
Got pay for the awards.
Yeah. Well, with that, you out on the street corner, well, I think we're getting nothing, don't you?
I think so. Yeah.
I bet you Pat would buy one.
Pat would buy what?
Well, one of your gay...
What, a starter kit?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he needs any help.
The Like a Prayer album would improve his playlist.
Terry. Yeah, I think we're off, aren't we? Anyway, that's week's show. Now, if you missed our quiz show last week, well, it wasn't last week, was it? It was a week before, actually, thinking about it. Head over to shoutoutradio.lgbt where you can listen again and download it. It was cracking fun, I have to admit, wasn't it?
Next week, it's all the teas.
It's
all about trans.
Interesting.
I look forward to that.
Until then, though, from myself, Terry, and Steph, and the rest of the team, say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.